So it's Abbey outside Boston on the 6th of September, talking to Maureen Ward. So Maureen, can we go back 20 years and you tell me what you were doing at the time of the Sea Empress oil spill, maybe just some biographical kind of background.
Actually, I was very busy in the garden because I ran the Tenby Animal Rescue Centre. So I was out doing the kennels and seeing to all the animals when one of the girls came rushing up, knocking on the door to say, "Oh my God, you can't don't believe it! There's been a massive oil spill down on the all the beaches, and it's absolute chaos." So of course I sorted all the animals out pretty sharpish, and came down onto the North Bay and just couldn't believe what we were seeing. It was just like somebody had emptied 500 tons of treacle. It was horrendous.
So you just saw the oil washed up at that
Oh
point,
yeah, it had just come up.
Right, okay. And can you describe, what it looked like and what was happening down the beach? Were there other people there?
There was a lot of people watching it, obviously looking at it, because I mean, Temby was in shock, you know, because we couldn't understand how on earth it had ended up on all the beaches. But as I said, it did. It looked like tons and tons of treacle. It was just this browny black gunge, which it was nice weather, the tide was calm, and it was just rolling in. And you thought, oh my God, that's the end of our summer season. Bad.
So what happened? What happened then? What was your...
Well, I think the first day was just pandemonium. Nobody knew what was happening. Nobody knew what to do. And then I was friendly with a lady down on the harbour, Mrs. Hawthorne, and her husband was involved with Texaco. And we said, well, you know, what we're going to do about the birds? Because there was loads of seagulls and everything flapping about in the water. They couldn't get out. So we, Sue and I, and my daughter-in-law, we went down the harbour and managed to grab one of the boys with a punt. And we were going round more or less all afternoon, picking the injured, you know, the damaged birds up. Some of them were already dead. And the rest, we were pulling into the boat to, and they're vicious little beasts. They don't realise they've been helped. And of course, then we were ferrying him over then to Pendine.
Right, so you're going over in a boat with the birds.
Well, no, we couldn't have got over in the boat we were in. I don't think it had a maid's underfoot, leave alone, leave alone Pendine. So we were putting them in the back of vans then, and one of the boys was taking them over.
Wow.
So that was the first couple of days really were spent going back and forward in boats into Monkstone and all around there, you know, trying to pull in as much as we could.
And who was doing that? Were they volunteers, local people, or...?
Really, just Sue and I and my daughter-in-law. I don't think anybody else really knew who to get hold of to go out in the boats. There was quite a few local people on the beaches picking up the birds that had been brought up onto the beach. And of course, they just panicked them birds. So it was the younger, more healthy ones that were rugby tackling the birds on the beach, cormorants and that sort of thing. And they were a major problem trying to catch them. But I think we managed to, you know, I think there was probably thousands of birds picked up in between Saundersfoot, Monkstone, Tenby, Saundersfoot, you know, it was Manorbier.
Do you remember how you felt at that time when you saw the oil on the beaches?
Oh, it was hard to comprehend, really, you know, because all you could see was the rocks were covered in it, you know, everything was just covered. And you think, well, it was February, come Easter, was anybody going to go on the beach at all? You know, I think everybody was in shock. And of course, then the council started work then, and they were picking it up in, you know, in trucks and all, and ferrying it off. So of course, the whole town absolutely stank of oil because it was traipsing all through town, and people were walking into it, and walking into the shops, and I mean, it was. I would never have believed at that time. I would never have realised how quickly it could be cleared and we would have visitors on the beach, you know, coming just after April. Mm. It was amazing how they cleared it all. Mm. Really was.
And what processes for clearing the oil were taken?
I don't know. I think they sprayed something into the oil. I don't know. I wasn't really involved in that side of it. We were too busy trying to sort everything else. But I think they sprayed stuff into the water, into the oil, which was supposedly to disperse it or sink it. So, of course, then when the tide went out, it left all these huge globules on the beach for the workmen to pick up. And I think they dug huge holes around the place and put the oil in to basically contain it. So I think that was probably... I don't know whether I can say anything about the Canadians. I might get my knuckles wrapped 20 years on. But no, it was awful.
Mm. And as the mayor of the Tenby at the time, what role did you take on? What was your role with the oil spill from that side of things?
As mayor, I suppose, not really. I mean, I'm one of these that gets involved in everything anyway, always have been. I've got a big mouth and I tend to shout at people and they tend to come along and help. And this is when Sue's husband, who was working at Texaco, he said, right, I'll get a load of mops. And I thought, well, a silly man wants us to mop the beach. And anyway, he brought, they had them delivered. We had about 150 bags of these, like, nylon floppy mops heads. And in matter of fact, we looked like a pack of cheerleaders going down the beach with them. And so we set to, once we finished with the birds, we set to starting to clean the rocks. And we thought, what on earth is these things going to do? But they were amazing. So we got a gang of us together and we started off down on the Castle Beach to start. You know, we cleared all those rocks. Luckily, the North Beach rocks, most of them were covered in sand, so they didn't cop it. But we did the Castle Beach and the South Beach. And luckily, Kiln Park, we approached Kiln Park. So they used to bring down at lunchtime big vats of coffee and tea and sandwiches for us. So they kept us, you know, fed and watered all day, which was good. Everybody mucked in. And we did. And the one thing that amazed me, because everybody was worried about tourism. Well, I know it's an awful thing to say, but I tell you what, if you want to get a load of foreign tourists in the town, put oil on the beach. I've never seen so many foreign tourists around. There was hundreds of them on the beach coming up and asking us what we were doing and... It was quite amazing, really. But, I mean, within... We did it, I think we cleaned the beaches for about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. And then a certain person who remained nameless decided to bring the army in, and we were chucked off then because we didn't have the correct clothing. Well, didn't worry about that when we first started doing it. You know, I mean, they issued him with masks and all this sort of thing. So... But I think within about 6 weeks, there was a huge difference.
In the amount of oil that was down on the beaches?
Huge difference, mm, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, fabulous.
So once the army came in, did they take... Were they using the same kind of processes to clean?
Yeah, yeah. Same as us. Yeah, I think we taught them what to do. They were mainly working on the harbour walls. And the chains from the boats, because of course they were all just, the chains were just solid, so they had to renew all the chains and get it off the harbour, because of course on the walls, on the rocks it wasn't as bad once you got it up out the way, but on the walls it was more difficult, and of course as the tide was coming in, it was washing more into the water. Mm. So they did, you know.
I was going to say, was it a sort of process that had to keep on being done, because... Was the tide bringing in fresh oil?
Yeah, it didn't bring it in, but I think it was what was stuck. You know, as I said, this dispersant that they used obviously was sinking the oil, so it wasn't being so heavy that it wasn't being carried back and forward. I mean, you know, there was quite a... Bits and bobs were washed up for about, I don't know, probably a couple of months, 3 months afterwards. but not that you would notice. It was just being careful. And of course, all the shellfish and all couldn't be touched for a long time.
What would you say, as someone who's really involved in the Tembe and the people of Tembe, how would you say it affected people's sort of morale or sense of being here? Or what was the sort of feeling that was?
I think there was probably a few moans about the fact, why didn't they get the whatever they call those things that go around the sea? Because of course it was said that although the ship had gone down, that the tide flowed in a different way and wouldn't come on to us. And whereas if we'd had the booms out, you know, maybe it wouldn't have come over onto us. But that was only, you know, it was too late then, wasn't it? It was already landed in. But far from that, I think it was just massive community effort. You know, everybody helped out if it was only just washing the fronts of the shops out, you know, to try and protect that a bit. You know, it was, and like I said, it was so busy with tourists. I mean, probably the guest houses did quite well.
Out of season in Tembe, in February. Yeah. So it was quite a good sort of community sort of feeling and people sort of cleaning and getting
I think
involved.
In a small area like the likes of Tembe and Saundersfoot, etc., you know, I think it's... there is a good community here, you know, everybody knows everybody. So, you know, the ones that were fit and healthy were helping out wherever they could.
Yes. And was there any sort of, like, gatherings of people coming together at that time? And
not really, no, only us with the rocks. I mean, there was about 40 of us, because, you know, myself and my friends and some of the councillors, we were all down there, and then other people are going to say, well, what are you doing? Well, can we help? Yeah, fine, you know. So everybody just mucked in. As soon as they got over the shock of seeing what the heck we were doing, you know, why are these people running around with cheerleader things? But no, fair dues. And Texaco were very good. They kept us going with these mops, and then the council would come and take them away as we were bagging them all up when they were full of oil, and they were taking them away to dispose of them. So... you know, I think Texaco were just appalled at what had happened.
And what were we going to ask? How do you think people sort of reflect on it now, 20 years on?
I think most people have forgotten about it now. You know, 20 years is a long time, isn't it? Things happen. I mean, I happened to say the other day when we were having coffee that, you know, you were coming to do this thing. And they said, oh, God, I can't really remember what happened. When was it? You know, this sort of thing, could you think? And, I mean, it was, what was it, February 96? Yeah. Because my son had died in the April previous, as I'd come in as mayor. And that was the only way I remembered when it was. Because you think, you know, 20 years, I'm not very good at dates at the best of times. And you look at the beaches, you know, the year after, and unless somebody knew it and seen it on the telly, they would never have dreamt that it was such chaos. But, I mean, everybody said, oh, they'll never clean that. They'll never get that up. But they did. It was the county council and all the workers they had, and they brought farmers in with tractors, and you know, all the farmers mucked in as well. So, I mean, I don't think the beach has ever been so busy. They've never seen so many tractors and diggers wandering up and down the beach. But no, fair dues, they did do well.
Yeah, interesting how people come together in. Times of crisis and
disaster. That's it. And I think if it's a smaller area like we all are, then obviously most people, you know, it was, can we help in any way? So we were just sending them to different people, you know. I mean, even with the birds, I mean, they had loads of volunteers down there, you know, cleaning the birds off. And I mean, that's a long job to start with. I mean, luckily we didn't have a problem with the seals or the fish because, of course, they stayed down deep. So, and Caldy wasn't too bad. The back of Caldy wasn't too bad, I don't think. So, and luckily in February the seals tend to be in the caves out the way anyway. So,
And apart from that, was it sort of business as usual in Tenby? Everything sort of like moving on as normal?
Well, yes. I mean, really, in February it's quite quiet anyway. Mm. You know, we don't get the tourists. As I said, we don't get tourists in February, the odd weekend. But, as I said, they obviously did pretty well with the tourists because there must be so many photographs abroad of all of us lot cleaning the beach up, you know. Can you imagine them going home to Japan and goodness knows what, because we had Chinese, we had Japanese, we had Australians, you know, all sorts, Germans. And you could imagine them going back, you know, a few years on and going, oh, that's our photograph. Oh yes, I was cleaning up after the oil spill, you know. So I think I had a few taken with my chains on when I was going to do something or other. So, but just please God it doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
Please God that they've learnt what they've got to do next time and get the booms out quick enough to stop it.
Yeah. Do you feel that there is a sense that something's been learned from
I'm sure it has, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Because when something like that has never happened, you can see, you know, a few people were running around like scalded chickens, you know. What do we do? How are you going to get all that up? But, as I said, it's not very often I praise County Council, but fair dues, they did get their acts together between them and the Harbour Master and people like that. You know, they did get themselves organised.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know for exact time, but I'm sure Chris Osborne would know. It was probably about 6 to 8 weeks before everything was cleared up, more or less.
Yeah. That's great. And, how do you feel about it 20 years on?
Well, again, you know, I mean, we chat about it sometimes because obviously the same people that were down there are still around now. And sometimes when we're going backwards a bit, you know, 20 years, you know, oh, God, can you remember when we were... I mean, actually, a few weeks ago, we were talking to some guys that work over on Kiln Park, which weren't there in 2020. And I said, you know, fair dues, they were so good at Kiln Park, they kept us in teas and coffees and sandwiches and cakes. And he said, oh, well, you know, just give us a shout if it happens again. I said, it better not happen again. Plus the fact I'm too damned old to be round mopping blooming rocks. We go down the beach sometimes and one of the girls, Anne, she'll go, I clean that rock. So that's it. It's really more memories than thinking... Just hope to God it doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
But I'm sure if it did, the same community efforts would plunge in again.
Mm.
Not me, but I'm sure I could organise somebody to do it. Yeah, not my job.
So was it hard work? Like, do you remember it being hard
work? Yeah, it was, you know, because you were clambering over rocks and, you know, you'd think you'd... Because you used to have to do it in a circular... What's name? And then you'd think, oh, right, you know, I've got that rock. And then you think, oh, God, there's another one there. I've never seen so many rocks. I've never looked at how many rocks we've got. And it was hard, and the weather was hot, as I said, so it was quite pleasant. We all, I mean, by the end of February, beginning of March, we'd all got suntans because it was so nice, far nicer than it is this summer.
Mm.
But...
And what were you wearing to clean up?
Just T-shirts, yeah. And shorts or trousers or whatever. And as I said then, you know, we had a row then because we were supposed to have the kit. Well, we didn't know. All we were trying to do was do a job that needed doing.
Yeah.
And but a lot of people ended up with very bad chests.
Right.
You know, I mean, I ended up with a terrible chest. And they reckon it wasn't from the oil, it was from the dispersant that put in the oil. And that was, and of course, because we didn't have masks. I mean, we were wading around in the water, picking the birds up to here in oil and water. You know, I mean, I dread to imagine what the sewers must have been like for a few weeks. It was only from us washing, because we used to turn the hose pipes on ourselves on the harbour to try and get it off us.
And it would just stick?
Like glue. Mm. It was like glue. It was horrible.
Mm.
But, as I say, a lot of people did end up But I think the shopkeepers and all were well compensated for, you know, the carpets and everything, because
right.
the carpets were just gunge, you know, everywhere you went.
That's interesting, because you're the first person to... I hadn't thought about how it was, you know,
there
it
was
a moved
lot of
around.
Compensation.
Well, yeah, and that it would be just spread through people's
shops everywhere.
And homes.
It was everywhere.
And,
absolutely everywhere. You know, the hotels that had people in. Mm. I mean, everybody had big mats down, and I think Texaco gave them absorbent mats and things like that to try and... But you can't, unless you get everybody to take their shoes off on the front door, it's going to carry through.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, High Street, as I said, the smell in High Street was horrendous, because the oil was so strong smelling, and so every shop in High Street was full of it.
Wow. Wow. And where did the compensation come from?
I don't know. I don't know whether Texaco or, well, it wouldn't be Texaco, I wouldn't have thought. It's probably the ship company, I would have thought, whoever owned the ship. I don't know. Because they said to me about 2 years later, the doctor said to me, why didn't you claim? I said, for what? He said, well, because you've ended up with this bad chest. I said, they'd have probably blamed it on how many fags I smoke. But my chest was fine till we started on the oil.
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
Were there other people that were cleaning up as well that were that?
Yeah,
no,
quite a few
problem?
People ended up with chests. And it wasn't really until probably 12 months after that we all suddenly thought, hang on. You know, we've all developed this since. It was obviously the oil, but then, as I said, they told it was our own fault anyway, because we shouldn't have done it without masks.
Mm, yeah. Probably wouldn't be allowed down on the beaches now if
it
happened.
Well, probably not. Health and safety. I mean, they made enough fuss then. You know, I mean, the army came down with all these... I mean, they did the last... I think it was the end of the second week we were doing it, when they all came with these blooming white overalls, and we took a look. You can't get on with your work with those things. And plus the fact that you put them on, in 5 minutes, you look like a chocolate factory because it was just covered. So we thought, no, no. We did wear the masks for the last few days until they brought all the squaddies in. And then we were told they're off.
So how long did it take before, you did mention it, I think, a few weeks before the army were sent in?
It's about 2 weeks, I think.
About 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, probably about 2 weeks, I would have thought. And then they came in then. We used to have a laugh with them, because we kept saying to them, you've had us chucked off. We were doing this and you've thrown us. So we were telling them then what they had to do. Don't bother done that end, because we've done that before that end. But as I say, they didn't do a lot on the beach afterwards, really. They were doing the walls and things like that. Because obviously when the water came in on the harbour... You know, there was about that much of the harbour wall, and the rest then down to the sand was just thick oil.
Yeah.
It seemed to attach itself to everything.
Yeah, everything it touched. Mm. I've seen a photograph of Gosca Rock actually down on North Beach.
I was looking yesterday actually, because I've got some photographs of the beach and the oil, but I can't lay my hands on them. I don't know if my daughter's pinched them or what.
Yeah, but it was just as you, well, I saw a picture of it, and it was just as you described, this kind of chocolate, thick chocolate brown, and it was sort of this, you know, like 6 foot up, where the tide had come up, just gloopy oil.
That's it, and when it came in on the north, the tide was already round Gosca, so of course it just threw it at Gosca then, but, I mean... Usually in the winter, there's quite a lot of rocks on the North Beach, which are, you know, uncovered by the sand. But luckily, most of them were covered. There was only a few that we had to do, really.
Mm. And that, the people that were down there cleaning the rocks with you, were there sort of was it a wide range of people, or was it a particular group of people?
No, it was just all mates, really. You know, there was three or four councillors. And then the rest were just my pals, you know, and friends of friends. You know, as I say, the word went round, you know, there's a pile of idiots down on the beach cleaning the rocks. You see people's faces, you know, you're what? Cleaning rocks? Yeah. So, of course, then they'd come down. So, and then someday somebody'd have somewhere to go, so somebody else would come down and take over. And so it was quite enjoyable, really, you know, good camaraderie. And it was fun. Not fun for the oil and everything, but it was fun for everybody getting together.
Yeah.
You know, we had a few get-togethers after then, the oil cleaning gang.
What were they like? Was that sort of a, what kind of a thing was that?
Well, you know, everybody was saying the same. We used to all meet for coffee and, you know, it was just laughing really. But, oh, can you remember such a body falling off the rocks? And, you know, I mean, there was all sorts of calamities went on down there, you know, somebody trying to be clever and climb up a bigger rock. And because we were told to only keep, you know, basically on our feet. But somebody got to be clever and then climb up, and then you'd see suddenly had disappeared off the end.
I guess it was quite slippy, actually.
Oh, he was like, ugh, it was horrible stuff, horrible. I think we all threw shoes and, well, in matter of fact, for quite a while, we were all barefooted down there doing it because it was easier. And then we used to get into the sea then and wash our feet.
Wow.
And the girls used to say, well, this is good, they're cleaning the oil up and we're putting it back in the sea. I said, yeah, but it's not much. It's not much, only a bit. But yes, I'd say just hope it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, and do you feel like it is a possibility that it could happen again with Texas?
Well, you never know, do you? You know, I mean, I know they've done these double-hulled ships and everything now, haven't they? You know, they've since the Torrey Canyon, they said that they'd done it. It was just unlucky that that ship and the tug and everything just went wrong at the wrong time, didn't it? Mm-hmm. So, but no, I can't see it happening again down here. You know, when you think of how many big ships we have up the Haven, and that's the first time that it's happened in all the years. So, hopefully, it won't happen again.
Mm.
I'm sure Milford Haven learned their lessons, as well as everybody else, you know. Get the booms ready. Stop it before it gets you. But that was the tide. The tide let us down, you see.
Mm. Mm.
And I think it was so blessed heavy, there was nothing could stop it.
Mm.
You know, there was so much of it. There couldn't have been anything left in that ship.
No.
Because it was all on us.
Mm.
Well, right round the coast, really. I don't know how they managed run. Did they get it in Swansea, you know?
I don't think it went quite as far as Swansea. I think it stopped at Worm's Head.
Yeah.
Around there. But it did go all the way up to North Pems.
Yeah.
I've interviewed some people who saw it up at North Pems.
Yeah, it seemed to follow the tide right round.
Yeah.
You know,
it just spreads oil,
circle.
Doesn't it?
Oh,
oil
yeah.
Spread,
yeah. And when you looked at it in the sea, just moving like that, really slowly, and you think, how on earth has it got all the way here? But of course, it was the weight of it, wasn't it?
Mm.
And the tide coming in. If it had landed when the tide was out, it wouldn't have been so bad.
Mm. Do you remember if there was many, you said about tourists coming into town, and was there much media?
Oh, everybody from all over the world, I think. You know,
were you doing
you looked.
Any interviews at the time?
I did one, only for Jim TV. Sean, what's his name's husband? Martin, somebody? Can't remember his name now. And he wanted me to go down the beach. And I said, no way. I'm not going to stand in that. I've been standing in it all blooming week. So, and I was dressed up, you know, with my jacket and chains and everything on. I thought, you're going to take a running jump, mate. I ain't going down there. And then somebody else, I think, stopped me in High Street with a camera. But there seemed to be cameras everywhere. You know, literally everywhere. They were on all the beaches, they were in town. Everywhere you went, there was people walking around with big cameras on their shoulders. So I know there was a guy down there from Germany that was filming us all, cleaning and talking to us and then, you know, to all of us girls, like. Because, funnily enough, it was nearly all girls.
Is that interesting?
Mm. I don't think we saw any men. as per usual. Anything to do with cleaning, the women get thrown in. But yes, the media, it was on telly for weeks afterwards, on and off. And some friends of mine in Australia, they said it had been on their telly. You know, they'd shown about the sea empress. So she was some empress when she came into us.
Yeah. Did you watch it on the news as well? Were you just sort of out there? And
yeah, I think we, you know, I think we saw, you know, bits and pieces of it. Perhaps it was on the news and we'd come in and go, oh, look, there's us. You know, because there was a few of on the beach of the of us cleaning and, oh, look, there's all of us. But, yeah, that was all really.
Brilliant. Is there anything else you'd like to add to it?
No, I don't think so. I think you've covered just about everything. And I do tend to waffle on.
That's good. That's good.
Different things I tend to waffle on. But, no, as I say.
I think just... it's interesting that it was all women down there. So was there much sort of calling round? Were you doing much of that? Was there, trying to... lots of organisation, it sounds like it was quite... Was it that you that
was...
Yeah,
it was just every day when we finished. You know, we used to finish off about 4 because most of us had kids or grandchildren or whatever. And it was a point of, right, everybody, see everybody in the morning, 10 o'clock, on the south or the north, wherever we happen to be. So everybody just turned up, and as I say, half the time you think, "The hell is that? I don't know who she is."
And were you just in Tenby, or did you then go off to Saunderstone?
We didn't clean anywhere else. No, we left that to them. That was their beach, so it was up to them to sort it out. As I say, the only thing we had involved away was the birds.
And was there, as far as you knew, were there similar things happening on?
We never heard a lot about it actually. Somebody did say that it wasn't quite as bad in Saundersfoot, but then that was only hearsay. I don't know, because obviously we didn't go. I don't drive, so we didn't go there. And we didn't bother going around there with the boats, because there was more problems, because we've got several beaches like Monkston and Waterwinch and all, which are only really accessible by boat. Because we took one of the guys from Manabir, Chick Brown. He took us out, me and my daughter-in-law and Sue, onto Monkston. And just as we were coming into Monkston Beach, the ruddy boat started to sink. And he'd forgot to put the plug in. I think he was trying to drown us all, as well as rescue boats. So we managed to wade back in and got sorted all the boat, the birds and all out. And he had to ring up one of his mates to come and get us.
Chaos.
Oh, it was hilarious.
And were the people off work at the time due to the oil spill?
I don't think so. I don't think people were, because obviously everybody, the roads were clear for everybody to get to from A and B, and because obviously it wasn't the time when the fishermen were out, or the tourists were there to be. Taken out, Cordy was closed up for the winter. So really, I think there was probably more work for people, because obviously, as I say, with the farmers and everything, and I think they were crying out for volunteers to come and help. So with shifting the oil, because they had great big diggers and everything on the beach, because the only thing we were bothered about is they were digging big holes on the harbour beach and pouring this oil in, and we thought, well, if they pour it in, surely it's going to come back up. But supposedly they only put it in there to store it, so that they were back and forward, and then once they had a big lorry load, then they took it back out there.
And so they were making these kind of lakes in the beach of oil.
Yeah.
And then how were they getting the oil into that? Were they pumping the oil out of the sea, or what was their process?
Yeah, there seemed to be a lot of pumps about. I mean, I don't know, because we were so busy faffing about with the rocks, we didn't really watch them. I'm not particularly mechanically minded, so I didn't care what they did as long as they got it up out the way. But say, we were a bit bothered about them burying all this in the sand. I thought, well, you know, it's all going to come back in the summer. But no, they were just filling huge, huge deep holes with it, and then they were bringing diggers in then to dig it out, lift it out, and that's when it all was in the town, because of course they were driving, they had to drive through right through town.
Right.
And of course it was slopping about, and the wheels off the tractors, it was just dragging it through town.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Wow. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. I look forward to seeing it on telly or wherever it is. Yeah.
It's interesting that everyone I speak to, some people say this similar things, and then other people say something that I've never heard before. Mm. You said quite a few things that I haven't heard before.
So. Oh, that's typical of me.
That's really interesting. But particularly love the idea of a team of women down on the beaches cleaning rocks with mops. Yeah.
They look like a gang of cheerleaders.
And surprising that they work so well. I mean, that I guess they are. That's what they're made for, aren't they? Is to absorb.
That's right. Yeah.
But did they last for each mop head? Because you work with it for a little bit of time. Or was it
It would depend on how much oil was on each, because some rocks were worse than others, you know. And like if you had a little rock pool, then you'd put the mop in and it'd soak all the water and the oil up. But then it was no good then. You'd have to bin that. Oh, we were going through 100 a day.
Wow.
You know, easily.
And just filling them full of black bags and...
Yeah.
Where were they getting disposed of then afterwards?
I don't know. Either
Texaco took them.
Took them, and I suppose they have a disposal unit for oil anyway down there, so they used to come down and just pick them up.
Mm. And did you have a mop sponsor?
No. They just produce these... You know, we'd think, oh, God, we haven't got many mops left. And then suddenly, because poor old Sue lived down on the harbour and she had a huge basement, so, of course, they were delivering all the stuff to her, bless her. Her house was completely covered in mops for a couple of weeks after when we'd all finished and all. And she said, thank God for that. I never want to see another pair of white overalls or a mop. Because we kept saying, and I'm sorry we didn't do it, because we said we should have all got into a long line on the beach with these mops, like cheerleaders, and all stood there and had a photograph taken. But we never got around to it, and it's a shame, because it would have been a laugh now, you know, because they were all pink or blue mops, which was quite funny. But yeah, it would have been quite comical, I think.
Amazing, yeah. It's amazing, I can't believe how effective it was, you know, that it would sort of get rid of all the oil.
I know, and it was only like a plastic thing. Mm. You know, I mean, I don't know what it was made of, but it was like a plastic mop. Mm. Big, you know, that sort of size. They were big things. But no, they definitely served the purpose.
Brilliant.
They probably still got some down there somewhere in Texaco.
Just in case the next oil spill hits.
Yeah. No, as you said, I think with health and safety stepping in, I think we wouldn't be allowed anywhere. They'd probably barricade the town off.
Yeah.
We'd all be evacuated or something.
Probably.
You know?
Yeah. Were you living in this house?
No, I was up in the Glebe then.
Okay.
Because I had the Animal Rescue Centre, so of course I had all the kennels and everything, so...
And you didn't have any... It didn't affect any of the animals that you had?
No.
Or anything coming in, not the kind of animals you were looking after?
No. We only took dogs, cats and things like that. And they went...
down on the beach?
You had to be careful with the dogs on the beach for a while, you know, because it did burn their feet. Some of the dogs did have, you know, their paws burnt a bit from the oil.
Right.
But then most people had enough sense to stay away from the beach until it was safer. But, I mean, if you've seen photographs of it, you'll see the sand look beautiful. You know, just lovely golden sand. And then this gunge.
Yeah. And did you ever swim in the sea around that time? Were you a sea swimmer?
No, I'm not that brave. No. Not in the cold weather.
No,
it takes a lot in the warm weather, leave alone in the cold. No, we did go swimming a few weeks ago, actually, but... No, it's far too cold in February. Although the weather was beautiful, as I said, and we did all paddle, because, you know, you did get hot and sticky, so we used to, if find a spot that didn't have any oil in and paddle about in it. And then you came out and thought, oh, God. But no.
Amazing. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Maureen. And yes, I'll keep you informed of what happens next with it.
Yes.